Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers do not win the game. Craig Kimbrel gives it up in the ninth. But is it really his fault? We'll talk about that. We'll get into Tommy Canley, who pitched last night and looked really good and now throws a wrench into the bullpen. And we'll talk about what other positions are up for grabs for October. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is Locked On Dodgers, and you can find us on YouTube or wherever you find podcasts simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Subscribe in all those places, and you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. So we thank you in advance for doing that and for making us your first listen of the day every day. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Samperio. I'm usually joined by a co-host, Jeff Snyder, but he's covered for me the last couple days, so I'm covering for him today. And we're both lifelong Dodger fans that cover the Dodgers. Currently, we do this podcast about the Dodgers, and we talk a lot about the Dodgers, and that's what we usually do on this here podcast, and that's what I'm here to do today, is talk about the Dodgers, and, you know, not get too deep into last night's game, because it was the game after the Dodgers clinched NOS. It was a late, you know, a late game after a late game, so it's not like, oh my God, it was like, oh, the hangover game. But the Dodgers did go out with the lineup that was not, it didn't have Trey Turner, it didn't have Mookie Betts, it didn't have Freddie Freeman. It did not have Freddie Freeman for the first time all season. So that's a story in itself of, wow, congrats Freddie Freeman, but also I'm glad he gets to have some days off now. It started with Chris Taylor in the leadoff spot, and he actually had a pair of hits. And then other than that, the Dodgers had three hits the rest of the time. We had Muncy, Smith, Thompson, Gallo, Vargas, Bellinger, Barnes, Hanser started at shortstop. As you may think, the Dodgers didn't score too many runs. Will Smith hit a home run that was very, very far. Trace Thompson also hit a home run that was pretty far. But other than that, the Dodgers' offense was non-existent. But as we mentioned before, the Dodgers could throw all their backups out there and still have a chance to win, which is why we didn't think the Dodgers would lose 16 out of 17 like they did in 2017, and also just because this team has a little bit different mindset. But it goes to show you, the Dodgers were tied going into the ninth, and that's with Michael Grove starting. Michael Grove, who called up before the game, had his best start as a major leaguer, went five innings, gave up two home runs, two solo home runs. But other than that, looked pretty good and, you know, gave the Dodgers five innings, which is more than they could have asked for. It came down to extra innings, and we know that the Dodgers aren't that great in extra innings, and that proved to be the case again. They did end up scoring a run. Hanser Alberto bunted or set up to bunt the runner over, ended up being successful and getting himself on base as no one covered first for the Diamondbacks. And the Dodgers scored on a wild pitch, but that was all they would score. Then in the bottom of the 10th, Craig Kimbrel trotted out. He walked a batter, and then, or had a strikeout, walked a batter, and then gave up a three-run home run. It was not a bad pitch, and it's not, you know, he obviously did the walk, wasn't ideal, and his stuff wasn't quite there like we've seen before in terms of command. But the pitch that was hit for a home run was up and in, a little, not even fully in the strike zone. And it was a good hit by whoever was, Alcantara, I think. Sergio Alcantara, yeah. So props to him, salute to him. I don't know, maybe this is wishful thinking on my end. Maybe this is, positivity or a little bit of homerism or whatever it is. I don't feel concerned about Kimbrel. Obviously, in the overall grand scheme of things, yeah, I'm not 100% in on Craig Kimbrel. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to be the guy. I'm not fully buying into the let it go hype, but it was hard not to at least consider being into the let it go hype. He was pitching better. He was limiting, you know, walks. He was not giving up hits. He was seemingly commanding his pitches in the zone better. And it all looked like, you know, combine that with the stuff that he's had all year, it looked like, you know, Craig Kimbrel was going to be fine. This is more, I would say, hopefully a blip on the radar more than anything. This last month of the season, or last whatever 20 games left, whatever they have left, you know, it's a matter of we're going to get to see him in a variety of different spots. Hopefully pitching at least every other day or every, you know, or a couple of times back-to-back days just to see what he can do. And it's a matter of, you know, it's one of those things where do you make your results based, or do you kind of look for the stuff? Because, yeah, Craig Kimbrel, the division's clinch. Realistically, the Dodgers aren't going to be playing in high-leverage games or high-leverage situations the rest of the way, or at least not, you know, full high-leverage. It'll be, yeah, last night, up by a run, runner on second, extra inning, that's on high-leverage situation. But it was also the night after the Dodgers celebrated the NOS and after they had, you know, done champagne with a lineup that wasn't necessarily their starting lineup. And maybe it was hard for Craig Kimbrel to get that adrenaline up. I don't want to make that excuse because I feel like a lot of closers go to that excuse, or relief pitchers, but whatever. Whatever happened, happened. I'm not concerned about Craig Kimbrel right now, but it's going to be hard to evaluate him the rest of the way if the excuse continues to be, oh, he needs the adrenaline, or oh, he'll ramp it up in October, or whatever the case is. I don't know what he needs to do. Well, obviously, pitch better, or pitch good, pitch well. And if he doesn't do that, you know, Dave Roberts still didn't commit to him as a closer. So, you know, that's that. We know, and what we're going to get into right now is Dodgers bullpen. It's close to getting stronger, barring any more injuries. So that's because Tommy Kahnle came back last night and looked really good. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Tommy Kahnle. But first, let's talk about BetOnline. BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's week 2 and week 3 games, depending on college or pro. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports events is betonline.net. They got MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf, as well as football. So head to the website today on your laptop or mobile device and learn more about the trends and learn more about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so like I mentioned, Tommy Kahnle came in and he pitched the seventh inning and he looked really good. Struck out a pair, got done in the inning in 12 pitches, 9 strikes, almost exclusively changeups. I think maybe just 2 fastballs in the mix. And when I said Tommy Kahnle, you know, has a lot to prove, I think it was a few days ago, has a lot to prove if he, you know, wants to pitch into October. Well, this first outing was something that, yeah, that's exactly what he would need to do the rest of the way in order to get into a spot in October. And I don't know. I don't know if, you know, it's obviously hard to tell. It's the first one, you know, he might not be able to go back-to-back, or he might not be able to go every other day, whatever the case is. That could limit him. But if Tommy Kahnle looks like this every time he comes out the rest of the way, he's pitching in October for the Dodgers, because he had the changeup working. He had it working from the first pitch. He threw almost exclusively changeups. He got a strikeout on a fastball that froze up the batter after a bunch of changeups. And he got the 2 strikeouts were against left-handed batters, which we know the Dodgers, you know, Alex Vesia, Caleb Ferguson, and then potentially Andrew Heaney or Tyler Anderson could be lefties out of the bullpen. None of those guys, you know, exactly are like, oh, for sure, like, oh, yeah, this guy has to be on the October roster. He's a lefty killer. He's lights out, whatever the case is. You know, Anderson, Heaney, that'll figure itself out when it comes to starting rotation and what the Dodgers want to do. Alex Vesia probably has earned his way just from what he's done all season and what he did last year, and knowing that he thrives in big situations. Caleb Ferguson's the one that's on the fence for me. He's pitched well in terms of statistics, but I'm not necessarily sure I'm ready to say I'm 100% convinced that he should be pitching some of the biggest innings in October. He's looked a little bit, you know, shaky, I guess would be the right word. Just hasn't instilled as much confidence as a guy with the ERA that he has should instill. You know, on the season, Caleb Ferguson has an ERA of 1.61 in 28 innings, but it's not, he has one more strikeout than inning, 29 strikeouts in 28 innings. And then you look at his last 15 games, he has a 3.14 ERA. He's walked six guys, given up 10 hits and 14 and a third. His strikeouts have picked up a little bit, but he's also given up more walks and more hits. So this wasn't going to be about Caleb Ferguson, though. But this is about Tommy Kahnle. And, you know, if he can do what he did yesterday, throwing that changeup, working in that fastball, that touch 97, then he's going to be a guy for the Dodgers. And he's going to be, you know, a key contributor for the Dodgers. Someone that fits in that realm of him, Evan Phillips, Blake Treinen, if he comes back, you know, filling in some later innings, or the Dodgers can go the other way and put him in, you know, earlier, whatever the case. But he's one of the best arms the Dodgers have if he's throwing like he can throw and how he looked last night. That's going to be a big benefit to the Dodgers bullpen, and it's going to, you know, make it overall stronger. You're going to have guys that were maybe on the bubble before coming in and not being on the bubble. So, you know, that's going to be a big benefit for the Dodgers. On the other side of things, in terms of guys that might be coming back, we already mentioned Victor Gonzalez won't be coming back. Danny Duffy won't be coming back. You had Yensy Almonte, who threw before the game on Wednesday. Dave Roberts said his stuff was coming out hot or something to that extent. And I would imagine the next step, if he feels great, is going to be a rehab assignment and then find his way back on the Dodgers by next weekend. That would be another ideal situation. Almonte was big for the Dodgers the entire season and is just another guy who has the stuff. You know, in October, what we've talked about is you want the stuff. You want the strikeout stuff. You want the swing and miss stuff. And, you know, that's what Almonte has. It has not translated. You know, swing and miss doesn't mean strikeout all the time. You know, he does have 30 strikeouts and 31 in the third innings. But he has the stuff to make you swing and miss. And he has, you know, his ERA of 1.15, I feel a lot more comfortable than Ferguson's, which was 1.16 or whatever the case was. So that'd be another big arm for the Dodgers. Another guy that can fill in wherever. He can come in early in the game if they need him. He can come in late in the game if they need him. And he can be a guy. What the big thing now is, and, you know, we, like I said, with Kahnle, with guy like Almonte, if he comes back, with Gratterall, when he comes back, it's kind of twofold in terms of what the Dodgers are looking for. Yes, they're looking for effectiveness and in the pitching and look at what their stuff looks like and everything else. But it's also a matter of, can they get ramped up to the point where they can throw back-to-back days? Because as we mentioned before, with some of the off days being eliminated that are normally there in the postseason, the Dodgers will need guys that can pitch back-to-back days, definitely for sure. And if they, you know, it's going to be hard to bring on an arm and be like, oh, this guy can only pitch once every other day or once every 2 days. It's hard to justify giving that guy a spot when you're going to need arms. So that's the biggest thing with Kahnle, which I'm sure we'll see the Dodgers try out, you know, maybe not early on, but at least definitely in the last half. You know, there's what, 20 games left, maybe first 10 games, you go every other game. And then after that, maybe you try a couple back-to-backs with the guy like Kahnle, maybe with, and a guy like Almonte is going to be a little bit different. But the other part is, you know, the Dodgers, the season runs the first week of October. Then they'll essentially have about a week off before the NLDS starts while they wait for the wild card game. So the Dodgers will have to put in some of their own work instead of, you know, relying on these games that they have. So they'll figure it out. But yeah, Tommy Canley looked really good. Should fight for October spot as long as he continues to be healthy. Yancy Almonte coming back soon. Should also fight for an October spot, assuming he's healthy. And then Bruiser Gradual, same thing there. So, you know, you look at that and you're like, man, this Dodgers, what are they gonna do? What moves are they gonna make? But it, you know, it's kind of easy to see Phil Bickford still out there. Phil Bickford's still there on the active roster. You know, they'll have to take down the starter, and it's not a for sure that they're gonna take all the starters. But right now, you think about Gradual, you think about Canley, you think about Almonte. Well, Canley's already back. So you think about Almonte, you think about Gradual. You know, Phil Bickford, Justin Brule, Michael Grove are already there. So it's pretty easy to find that. And then if Blake Treinen comes back, those are the three spots right there. Blake Treinen is seemingly on track to come back as well. So that's another benefit for the Dodgers and the bullpen. And, yeah, I mean, what we've talked about all year is the Dodgers bullpen. And I know, you know, Jeff mentioned how their ERA is with – that's with having, you know, Blake Treinen only throw a handful of innings. That's what having Tommy Canley only throw a handful of innings. But I feel much more comfortable with guys like Blake Treinen and Tommy Canley when they're right, even if they haven't thrown and contributed to this low ERA, you know, league low ERA in the bullpen. I feel more comfortable with them out there. And those are guys that have done it before, and those are guys that have the stuff to swing in, to get the swing and miss, to come in big situations and deliver. And that's what the Dodgers need. You know, I'm not trying to see Phil Bickford or Justin Brule in October is basically what it comes down to. No offense to them. They both had success in the past, but they aren't having the greatest success this season. And for the Dodgers with World Series aspirations, you want the strongest possible team to be out there. And that strongest possible team involves Canley, Blake Treinen, Bruiser Gradual, Yancy Almonte. So that's it on the bullpen. We have a question from a listener that'll incorporate a little bit of bullpen talk. But first, real quick, want to thank you and remind you to make Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. You can find us on YouTube or wherever you find podcasts simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. All right, this question comes from Billy Martinez. He asks, the Dodgers, you recently used Caleb Ferguson as an opener. The Dodgers have not used an opener very much this season because the starters have been so good. However, the Dodgers have used the opener fairly often over the previous few seasons and especially in the postseason. Do you expect the Dodgers to use an opener during this upcoming postseason? Do you anticipate Dave Roberts using relievers as openers over the last few weeks of this season to get accustomed to this role? And those are two really good separating questions. Do I expect the Dodgers to, I'll go short answer and then get into the long answer. Do I expect the Dodgers to use an opener during this upcoming postseason? No. Do I anticipate Roberts using relievers as openers over the last few weeks of the season to get accustomed to the role? I could see that happening. You know, I can't see the Dodgers using openers. They're not going to use an opener for Julio. They're not going to use an opener for Kershaw. They could potentially use an opener for Dustin May, but I think that would be a little bit disingenuous to May. Like, you know, if they have May in the postseason rotation, I think it'd be a little disingenuous to have that opener for him. Yes, he has struggled a little bit early in the game, but it's a matter of, you know, we've seen him. He's a guy who's earned his role as a legitimate big league pitcher, even before Tommy John, and working his way to find that again after the Tommy John that he's had, and now he's been going this season. But I think 2020, they played a little bit with that too much, and I think it affected May. I think it affected Gonsolin that year. They didn't really know what the role was. It was kind of confusing, and they didn't really, you know, contribute too much in terms of being beneficial to the Dodgers. Obviously, it all worked out. They won it all. But I do think they stunted both of them in how they handled it. So I don't think if May's going to be a starter in the postseason. I don't think he gets an opener. And then wherever you go with the last spot, whether it's Anderson, whether it's Heaney, I don't see an opener happening there. Now, on that point, we've talked about before of a potential piggyback. You know, do they have Julio and Kershaw and Heaney and then go May Anderson? Or do they go, you know, Julio, Kershaw, Anderson, May Heaney? That I still believe is more possible than having an opener. I do think there's a world where they say, hey, Dustin, we need you to give us four innings. Anything else is gravy, but basically put your all into four innings. And then they go to the next person, Anderson or Heaney, and be like, hey, you're going to come in and we need four innings from you, or three innings, you know, whatever the case is. But I think that's more likely situation than the situation of an opener. But on the flip side, I don't think it hurts to throw relievers in different situations over these last 20 games. You know, whether that's in an opener role, whether that's coming in very early in a game, whether that's coming in, you know, if there's a situation, bases loaded, nobody out, you know, whatever the case, you know. I think there's a lot of different things the Dodgers can do this last week. I do think that if they are going to consider an opener, obviously they should try it out. And even if they're saying, okay, we don't want to do an opener, I still think it wouldn't be the worst thing. But it's also a matter of, okay, how are you going to do it? You know, I don't think you're going to mess up a Kershaw start for it. You're definitely not going to mess up a Julio start for it. Tyler Anderson doesn't deserve that. Obviously, we're in a different realm now where the Dodgers are playing for October and would, in that sense, would be trying to figure things out. But, you know, he doesn't deserve an opener. You know, Dustin May might be the candidate. Andrew Heaney could be a candidate. Or they could go with like a bullpen game, or they could call up Grove or somebody and have that be a bullpen type game with an opener, whatever the case is. But overall, I don't anticipate openers being a thing for the Dodgers this October at all. But I can see them preparing for it just in case. You know, they're one injury away from being potentially like one guaranteed starter short. You know, realistically, they have five starters right now, yes. But you just say you get an injury to one of those starters, you know, now you're deciding between, okay, should one of these guys be a bullpen guy, to, okay, now this guy that was going to be the bullpen guy is going to be in the rotation. And it's not bad. It's not like, oh my God, we have, you know, if worst case scenario, somebody got hurt and it wasn't Andrew Heaney, and now Andrew Heaney starting game four of a series, I'm more than comfortable with that happening. I don't have an issue with it. Could it backfire? Obviously, but any starter can backfire. We've seen number one starters not do well. We've seen number four starters do very well. It's just a matter of the situation and a matter of how things go. But no openers. I expect there to potentially be some work for relievers in different situations just to kind of see and figure out what they want to do, what they can do, and not surprise anyone. Now, where I wouldn't be surprised for openers is, like I said, if they do decide on a piggyback situation, or they might try a piggyback situation, then, okay, you might say, hey, Tyler, you know what? We might need you in a piggyback situation in October. We might need you to come in as a reliever, you know, so you're going to come in the second inning, or Andrew Heaney as well. Prepare yourself as a reliever would. Or what, that might even be a matter of they have a bullpen game to start and Heaney or Anderson finishes the game. You know, they want to, you know, hey, we need you to come in the fifth inning. And you're going to come in, you're going to pitch the fifth inning regardless. You're going to start the fifth inning with the clean inning, and you're going to go from there and give us what you got. And I do believe that's going to happen over these last few games. And obviously, we'll kind of know what they're thinking depending on what happens. Like I said, Julio Kershaw won't be touched, but with May, Heaney, Anderson, there's potential that they might want to say, hey, we want to see you out of a bullpen. We want to see you prepare as a reliever. We want to, you know, make sure that it's not going to come as a shock to you. It wouldn't come as a shock to Anderson. He did it at the start of the year. You know, realistically, wouldn't maybe be too much of a shock for May because he's done that in the past. Heaney, I'm Not sure he's been a reliever in the past. I would imagine he's been a reliever before or coming in a relief role. Let's see. Yeah, he's made 9 career relief appearances. So most of those coming last year when he was with the Yankees. So obviously he didn't pitch well for the Yankees, so maybe he didn't like being a reliever. But he's pitching well for the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have seemingly gotten something out of him that the Yankees didn't. So that's where we're at there. Last thing I want to talk about real quick is just kind of with everything locked up, what is open, what roles are being fought for, what is, you know, out there for the taking. And as I mentioned the other day, center field and left field to me are open right now. I mean, since we talked, I don't think Cody Bellinger has a hit after he had 2 hits in back-to-back games. So, you know, that's why I said I wasn't sold on it yet. I wasn't ready to declare, oh my God, Cody Bellinger is back. Yeah, Cody Bellinger 0 for 4, 0 for 3 since we last spoke after he had 2 hits in back-to-back games. Yeah, so center field is open. Chase Thompson obviously hit a home run yesterday, so he's, you know, double-digit home runs this season. He's been a guy for the Dodgers the entire year and has deserved to be where he's at in terms of consideration for being in the starting lineup when it comes to the playoffs, whether that's in center, whether that's in left. You know, Joey Gallo hasn't necessarily taken a stranglehold. Yes, he's done well. He's hit here and there, but it hasn't been consistent hitting. And then now you got Chris Taylor throwing himself into the mix, or he was already in the mix, but maybe thrusting himself to the top of that. He's been a little bit more sustained than Bellinger. He's hitting over 300 in his last 7 games, and cutting down to strikeouts, only 5 strikeouts in the last 7 games, which doesn't sound like he's cutting down, but that's less strikeouts than the amount of games, which is a good sign for him. And he does have that home run that he hit the other night. So center field is open, left field is open. And then beyond that, in terms of position players, there's really not too much left to go off of. You know, Miguel Vargas realistically hasn't been getting the consistent at-bats that you would want, or he hasn't shown as much and hasn't got the consistent at-bats that you would want out of him in order to show that he deserves a spot on the playoff roster, especially over a guy like Hanser, who, yes, you know, probably doesn't bring as much in terms of the power and pop or the potential for power and pop. But Hanser plays a few positions, and he's a guy that has, you know, he's probably going to make contact at the very least. You know, Vargas has made contact as well. But like I said, if it's a matter of, okay, where do we want to prioritize a potential situation where we need some pop and we can send up Vargas? Or do we want the potential situation where we need a third baseman, a shortstop, a second baseman, a first baseman, and a guy who's not going to be, you know, too worried coming off the bench? That's where you got Hanser. So those are really the only spots fighting for. I don't think that at this point, I don't think, you know, Bellinger or Taylor are fighting for a spot on the roster anymore. I think they're fighting for a spot in the starting lineup. So that's what it is there. Gavin Lux should be back soon. Real quick update. So that'll be fun. And like I mentioned, the updates for the pitchers earlier. That's going to do it for me. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. He's bringing humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and covering the biggest stories around the league. Locked On MLB is the number one daily league-wide podcast and available wherever you get podcasts, on YouTube or on the Odyssey app. You can also find us in those places, YouTube, Odyssey app, wherever you get podcasts. Search for Locked On Dodgers. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, Locked On Dodgers. You can find Jeff on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Can leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 323-863-5625. You can send us a DM on any of those other accounts that I mentioned for social. And you can always send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.